your Bibles to Genesis. We are 8 lessons into this Genesis series now. And we're not falling too far behind from a chapter or lesson. We're in chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 1. We'll read a few verses here and then we'll make a lot of ado about one or two words. And we won't make much progress this week through the Bible, but the reason I do studies like this is because a lot of times preachers pick and choose what they preach, and little things like this, little details sometimes get overlooked. And I'm going to preface tonight's lesson with this topic is not something to fight over. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. It's not salvation. It's not it's not huge. It's just there. And so it's there, so it's for our learning, and it's interesting, and we're going to learn about it, because that's where we're at today. So don't be too upset if we don't agree. We'll survive. It's not a major doctrine or anything, but it's an interesting portion of the Bible, and an interesting thing to study, and so I hope that you will enjoy it. Let's read a few verses, and then we'll pray. Genesis 6, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you so much for the visitors we had today in this morning service. Pray, please prick their hearts, have them make sure that they know you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray, please help us to be the ambassadors that we ought to be. And Lord, I pray, please help us as we study now in these next few moments. Help us to learn something new from your word. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to verse 2, where that phrase, sons of God, comes into play. Most of you have probably read your Bible all the way through at least once in your life, and this phrase pops up a few different places in the Bible, and it can be confusing if you think that the sons of God are the same person or people group all the way through your Bible, because they're not. There's another word later on that'll be the same idea, that if you get them mixed up, it can really mix you up. So we're going to look at some things here real quick. There are, that I can find, 5 distinct groups in the Bible labeled as the son or sons of God that are different from one another. Job chapter number 1, hold the place in Genesis 6. Let's figure out who we're talking about in Genesis chapter 6 by going to Job chapter number 1 first. We'll go to a couple other places. Job chapter number 1. And verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So here we have a place in time where Adam is long since dead, Israel does not yet exist, and these beings are able to reach God's dwelling place and present themselves to him. Now turn over to Job chapter number 38. Job chapter number 38, just a little ways over in your Bible. And we'll start at verse number 4. Let's start at verse 3, because I really like that verse. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Get ready, because it's question and answer time. Verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is questioning Job. If you really know so much, tell me these things. Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So here we have some sons of God that are present at the finishing of creation, and God says that they all shouted for joy when the earth was created. So we have sons of God that were present at creation here shouting for joy, and also sons of God that were able to present themselves unto God, that Satan came among them to present himself. And I would say that it seems pretty clear in the Bible that these sons of God in these verses are angels. Angels being referred to as the sons of God. Let's look at another one, Isaiah chapter number 43. There's five different ones, I believe, that are considered to be sons of God. Five different groups. Isaiah chapter number 43. Let's start in verse number 1. We want to make sure we know who we're talking about here. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. So who are we talking about here? Jacob. And he that formed thee, O Israel. Talking about Israel. Talking about the nation of Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am, and boy, doesn't your mind just go to stories when you read that verse? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fire doesn't kindle upon you. Walk through the waters, Moses, and the parting of the Red Seas. It's like, yeah, God knows what he's talking about here. And, proves himself. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And so here we see again, we see the nation of Israel referred to as the sons and or daughters of God, and referred to as him there at the end. Something born of God, created by God in its original created state. This is talking about the nation of Israel. If you look at Hosea, chapter number 1, Hosea, right after Daniel, Hosea chapter number 1. One more about the nation of Israel here. And there's more to these verses about time frames and when these things are taking place and such, but we're just showing that they are referred to as the sons of God in the Bible. Hosea chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So here again, sons of God, referring to the nation of Israel. So we have angels and we have the nation of Israel. Well, now if you turn back to Genesis, and you back up a little in your mind to a couple of studies ago, Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, Adam was made in the image of God, he was made in the likeness of God, he was for all intents and purposes a son of God, yet his son was not. Adam was a son of God, Cain and Abel were not. They were sons of Adam. The mankind had fallen, sin nature had come in, and now it was not the same. Adam was directly created by God, Cain and Abel were not. They were descended from, and God no longer took credit for them. Adam was my creation, Cain and Abel, that's sons after his likeness and him as image. God does that with Moses and the children of Israel a few times throughout the Bible. It's like, you know, my people. And then whenever they do something wrong, your people, Moses, are messing up. He's like, he doesn't want to take credit for it. When they're making the calf and dancing around, and God's up there on the mountain with Moses and giving him the law, he's like, Moses, your people need some help. First to him is not mine. It reminds me of me and the kids. Honey, your son just ate a rock. My son just said his first word. It's almost like we're his children, and he treats us as such. I like how personable God is in the Bible. So there's the nation of Israel. There's angels. There's Adam, born in the likeness of God, his son, born in Adam's likeness. And then the one that I really like, John chapter number one. This is my favorite group of sons of God because I'm in it. John chapter one, number one, and verse number. Well, let's start in verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here we have another group, born again Christians in the church age, sons of God. And then, of course, Matthew chapter number 8. You're not too far from there where you're at there in John. So Matthew chapter number 8. The final one, I'm sure you can guess who this one is. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Obviously, there's many verses I could use to display that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but I like this one because I like the fact that these devils cried out and said exactly who he was, even though they were his enemies. So the Son of God, of course, Jesus Christ. So we have five different groups of people or individuals that are given this title or this label at some point throughout history past or history future or present, if you're a son of God tonight. And so, considering that Adam is long dead in Genesis 6, the nation of Israel does not yet exist, Jesus has not yet come to earth in human form to be the Savior, and there's no born-again believers, that leaves us with angels. If those are the categories, then angels fits the bill. So Genesis 6 would be about angels. Now, the sharp Bible mind may pick up on something here and claim, oh, there might be a contradiction. But what do we find out is true whenever we see an apparent contradiction? Well, study Scripture with Scripture, figure it out, and there's not. We just got to look deeper. Let's just go there. Let's go to the supposed problem. Matthew 22. I know we're kind of back and forth here. I should have told you to hold your place in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 22 is where the supposed problem comes from. I'm going to start in verse number 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I am likewise to tell you by what authority I do these things, the baptism of John. Whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why do you then not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? Certain men had two sons. I'm in the wrong chapter completely. It took me that many verses. I tell you, my mind's not working right today. I don't know where I am either. Crossroads Baptist Church, apparently. Matthew 22, not Matthew 20. I probably said it right and went to the wrong place myself. Matthew 22, and I said it right. I just didn't listen to myself. That's the problem. Matthew 22 and verse number, let's start in the beginning of this questioning that they're giving to Christ, verse 24, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. So they're trying to trip Jesus up with what seems to be a pretty good, hard question. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. They think they're getting it. And he says, you guys messed up. You don't know the scriptures. Verse 30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So that's where the person would say, well, Matthew 6 or Genesis 6 can't be angels because they're coming down to the daughters of men and picking out daughters and marrying them. And the Bible says that angels don't marry. But if you look at the verse, what does it say? The angels of God in heaven don't marry. And there's two reasons for this. The first reason is the most obvious. All the angels of God in heaven are male. I know Hallmark Channel doesn't believe that, but it's true. In the Bible, you find me one female angel, and I'll show you that you need to use a King James Bible. Because in the Bible, there's no female angels. And I know that gender isn't always specified, and there's some places where it just says an angel, but I don't think the an angel that came down and slew 185,000 Syrian soldiers was a woman. I think the Bible sets a pretty clear precedent. Every single angel we find named in the Bible is a man. Or at least a male angel. And so it'd be pretty hard for them to marry each other because that would go against God. It'd be an abomination. So they don't marry, the angels of God in heaven don't marry because they're all angels. And then the other reason that Genesis 6 isn't, that isn't a problem with Genesis 6 is because the angels spoken of in Genesis 6 are not the angels that are in heaven with God. They're on earth. They're down here. So why do we have angels in heaven and angels on earth? Well, we probably already know this, but let's run some references. Isaiah chapter 14. Some of you know this is a very infamous portion of the Bible here, Isaiah 14. And I'm going to take a good jab here at the new perversions of the Bible while we're at it, because they messed something up pretty bad here. Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12 is where we're going to start. The Bible says here, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, I'm going to stop right here and take my shot. The newer perversions of the Bible, almost every single one of them, removes son of the morning and lists Lucifer's name as bright and morning star. You don't have to go to Sunday school for a year to find out who the bright and morning star is. That's Jesus Christ. And if your Bible in your lap says that the devil is Jesus, that's a problem. I point that out to people that use these perversions of the Bible, and they say, oh, well, it's just a different name. It's, no, it's God's name. It's Jesus. You don't think that's a big deal? It's the one I've always used. It's easier to read, whatever. But I think it's a big deal. I think it's important that Jesus' name remains to be Jesus' name, and they don't throw that in for Lucifer. So, oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? So here we have, he's fallen from heaven. This confuses some people. He's fallen from heaven. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, this is where if I was with my youth group in class on Wednesday night up north, I would be grinning from ear to ear, watching their little brains explode, trying to connect all these dots. But I think we can manage this tonight. I grew up being taught that Lucifer fell from heaven. It says that. That's true. He fell from heaven. But where was he when he made the statement that when he had his rebellion? What does he say? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. So when he says, I'm going to ascend into heaven, what does that mean? Where does that mean he's not? He's not in heaven. If he's got to go up to get to heaven, he's not in heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Well, now we know he's below the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So the devil, where he's residing before he tries to take over heaven, isn't heaven, it's earth. That's the only place I know where you can be below the clouds and below the heavens. Now, I know that kind of goes against the grain of what most people believe just because we know he fell from heaven. He did, but that's not where he originally was. He was here. He said, I'm going to exalt myself up there. He got up there and God flicked him, and he fell back down. God put him in his place. So, now that we're all saying, I don't know if that's true, we just saw it. I think, you know, number one, ascend to heaven. Number two, go up past the stars. Number three, ascend above the clouds. So to me, 1 + 1 + 1 equals he's on earth. Satan wanted to go up to heaven. God cast him out of heaven, but it seems to me he started down here. Now, consider a couple of things. In Revelation, we find that the devil drew 1/3 of the angels of heaven to the earth. So we know that from many places in the Bible, there are devils or fallen angels on the earth. We see them all throughout Jesus' ministry being cast out. That's just common knowledge. Now, the thing that I think confuses people is the word heaven. If the devil was on earth, why does it say he drew 1/3 of the angels out of heaven? It's confusing. Keep in mind, there's more than one heaven in the Bible. Their first heaven, which is the atmosphere of the earth, that the earth, the birds fly in the heavens. You go on a trampoline, you jump, you're in the heavens. That's the first heaven. You're up in the sky. The second, which is what we call outer space, the Bible calls outer darkness. It's above the atmosphere. It's out there where the stars are. The third would be where the throne of God is. It's way, way, way out there. That's what the Bible calls the sides of the north. So there's the three heavens. And so when it says, you know, that Satan drew these out of the heavens and that he's fallen from heaven and into heaven, all these different heavens, it can be confusing. But consider some of Satan's nicknames. We'll turn to two places in our Bibles, Revelation 12 and Ephesians 2. Revelation 12 and Ephesians 2. This heavens thing tripped me up for a while. You know, I was wondering, like, where was he that he drew him out of heaven, but that he was going to go up to heaven, and it just make your brain go up and down trying to think about it. So, Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 3. Well, verse number 2. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Dragon is he's also referred to as the great serpent. The dragons do what? They breathe fire, but well, what do they do that would relate to all these heavens we've been talking about? They fly. Dragons fly. We know that angels can fly from many places in the Bible. Dragons fly. And then we come to another nickname of the devil in Ephesians chapter 2. This one will be more well known and more well understood. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So one of his nicknames is the dragon. One of his nicknames is the prince of the power of the air. It seems to me that the devil likes to keep his feet off the ground. Now, again, this is not something to fight over or anything. It's just interesting in the Bible. I think that the devil was down here. He wanted to go up there. God said, no, get back in your place. And he fell from heaven. Drew the third part of the stars of God out of heaven. We could go into angels and all that, but that's just a whole other study for a whole other day. But all this to show that I believe that in Genesis 6, those sons of God mentioned were angels on earth. I don't think anybody that's read their Bible would say that there's not angels on earth. We find fallen angels or devils all throughout the Bible. We find the Bible talks about entertaining strangers. Some have entertained angels unawares. Well, I can't entertain an angel that's in heaven unless he's watching like a TV show. If I'm going to entertain an angel or be hospitable to an angel, they've got to be here where I am. So there's angels in the earth, and so I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say, considering what all we've looked at, that these people in Genesis 6 were angels. Now, why take all the time to look at this? Why is this so important? Well, turn back to Genesis 6. It is a big deal because of the things that follow, the things that happen next. Look at verse 3 again. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. There is a reason there are legends of godmen or demigods all throughout history, all throughout many different cultures. I think they existed. I think the Bible says right here in this verse, there were some really, really superhuman men that existed back then that were the offspring of the daughters of men and the sons of God. And if the sons of God are angels, and we have angel man babies running around that are superhuman in their abilities, and that is where you get Zeus and Poseidon and all these different Osiris and all these different false gods people would worship, is in there. We'll look at a lot more of that next week when we look at the giants and the offspring of these intermingled seed and why it was a big deal and how it pertains to the flood. But those if you study those deities, false deities out, they're terrible. They're horrible. I guess I would say people. They're just rapists and murderers and liars and cheats and just, I mean, it's terrible. Why anybody would have that as their God and look up to and worship could only be out of fear, because there's nothing to admire. There's nothing to adore, except by pagan people that love and adore those wicked things. So, I believe that there were men in Genesis and beyond that were the offspring of an angel father and a human mother who were mighty men. I believe that's what Genesis 6 tells us. And I'll give you one more little proof before we quit for the night. Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah 37. I made reference to this story earlier, but it's just better to look at it. I'm surprised that I don't hear more preaching about this story. And I think it's because a lot of Baptist preachers just avoid the topic of angels. Period. I don't know what it is. I think we're allergic to it or something. But Isaiah 37:38, the Bible says, well, let's start in verse 37. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping the house. Am I in the wrong place again? In the house of his God, those two, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Ershadan, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, I gotta apologize. I am a little bit off in my brain today. I'm two verses too low. Verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I think the wording there is funny. When they woke up, they were dead. 185,000 soldiers killed by one angel. It gives new meaning to the fact that Christ could have called legions of angels down to get them off that cross. He had no problem. He would have had no problem wiping people out if he needed to wipe people out. And so God has these angels. This one angel in particular kills nearly 200,000 people in one time. And we don't read of him being wounded or him being killed. He just wipes out the whole army and leaves, and that just happens to be the size of the army. Consider that as your dad. Doesn't matter how out of shape your mom is, you've got good genes. We've all seen people that, you know, you see this couple and they're both just, you know, perfect specimens and make you just want to smack them, and they're athletes and they're smart and they're funny and they're good looking and all this, and then they have this kid that's just a meatball. And you're just, well, where did that kid come from? My friend who's coming, who's a missionary, the one who's coming here in a month or so, he would pick on Pastor Summers all the time, because Pastor Summers, he is / used to be really, really skinny, like a twig. And his wife, really, really skinny, like a twig. But their kids, more so towards the end, the kids were just meatballs. They were heavy kids, and so my buddy would always pick on them. Well, then he got married and he had his first kid, and that thing was a beast. I mean, it was round. It was a big old chunker. And so it's just funny. You can see people that you just wonder, how did this kid come from these parents? But imagine a parent who is an angel with all these superhuman abilities, and then it doesn't matter how bad the genetics are on the mother's side, that is going to make up for it. That's where I have hope that my children will be smart, because my wife is super smart. Doesn't matter how dumb I was, at least they've got her. And so we all have, you know, we have that genetic connection. But the angel/man babies, the Bible says, were great men of renown and just these giant men in stature and ability. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit next week. That's where, the only giant people know about in the Bible is Goliath. Really, that's pretty much the only one that everybody really knows about. They know there might be others, but it's only him. And next week I plan on, if the Lord leads or allows, we're going to spend most of the night talking about all the different giants. And I think it'll be a blessing. So, if you've ever wondered, just reading along through Genesis 6 and said, huh, I wonder who the sons of God were that were with the daughters of men. Well, now you know. After all that, I hope you know. Maybe I made you more confused than you were when you walked in. But next week we'll finish up looking at these beings, take a look at their giant offspring before we move on to the flood and some more familiar ground, and we'll go from there. I love the Bible. These things may not be pertinent to the Christian life, but to me, it's a joy to learn these things. So just to make the connections and see all the different truths in the Bible, some of which nobody really ever discusses, and just to see what it all is and what it all means and how it all connects. And I think hopefully some more dots will be connected next week when we talk about the giants. And I'm looking forward to it. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you so much for everybody who was able to make it out tonight. Pray for these two, with those who would have been here but were unable. Lord, and also be with those who should have been here and were able but did not. Lord, I pray you please help us to honor and glorify you as we leave this place tonight. Lord, I thank you for bringing me to this place and these people. Lord, help us for many years to serve you together. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.